This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 172. It's my party, and I'll pwn if I want to. Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to yet another episode of our podcast, people.
Hi.
Did you have a good week? Did you spend all your money yet?
No.
I hope you didn't, because Assassin's Creed is yet to drop, so... Yeah.
It's percolating and it's ready to precipitate onto our consoles.
It is ready to facilitate your enjoyment mications of its pervaitudeness of awesometosity.
I have no idea what the fuck you just said.
I'm not really sure what I said, but if you want to figure it out, probably a thing that will help you is if you visit our website on a regular basis. So make sure that you check us out at www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is...
ESH.mobi. That's ESH.mobi. The short address will bounce to the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and you can also check out any interesting shows that we have under the ESH camp.
That's right. We've got a couple of podcasts that are helmed by ESH crew members. You know, the fam. So you want to make sure that you check them out on a regular basis. Because if you do, ESH will then have you covered for entertainment all the way to hump day. Okay? First, you listen to us Monday. Bam! New episode dropped. Then on Tuesday, you know what happens? King Baby Duck and his crew of bastards bring you a fresh episode of the Boston Bash Brigade. Right there. More fun. More craziness. Wackiness. Zaniness. Off-the-wall geek nerd stuff with a sprinkling of sports. Then, to get you through your hump day woes, we've got Deuces Wild hosting with a friend of his, Geek Aggro. So then we got your computer gaming stuff. It's just gaming, gaming, nerd, gaming, gaming stuff all the way to hump day.
Okay, Ninja, you could tone it down probably 2 decibels here.
No, I'm just saying, it's pretty freaking awesome if you think about it. You got us on Monday, kick it off your week the right way. You got the bastard sweeping in, pick it up for sloppy seconds, okay? Helping you through. And then you hit the hump day and you're like, oh man, how am I going to make it through? Deuces Wild, boom, hit you with the geek aggro. What's not to be excited about?
Nothing, actually. That sounds a lot like fun.
Exactly. And then to get you through to the weekend, you can just follow us on Twitter. I'm at twitter.com/ninjasista.
And I'm twitter.com/ladyesh.
You got twitter.com/king_baby_duck. And twitter.com/deuceswild. So for the other random stuff and quoting of things in the realm of nerdcore that we do, we get you all the way through to your weekend. And then you're on your own. But I think you're responsible enough. I think you can handle it. And if not, you can always follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/ESH News if you're not subscribed to the RSS feed. See? Look at that. We got you covered almost 24/7, dude.
Well.
I said almost, because not exactly. But we're working towards it. We're working towards it. Making your life better. You know, one day at a time. One day at a time. All right, let me not sing.
Yes, abstain from the singing.
I will abstain from the tunage. But what I won't abstain from is answering.
Were you about to say ass? I won't abstain from ass.
It's a possibility.
Oh my god.
But that would have been a slip of the tongue. I'm not going to abstain from answering audience questions. Because we got one. I actually, know. We got two, but we're going to focus on this one because it actually pertains to our theme today.
Yes, we have a theme today, if you didn't.
It's a theme show, but not a singing one, even though I'm tempted to do that. I'm not going
to
do that.
No singing, Ninja, no singing.
I can't say that there's not going to be singing ever in this episode.
No, hum. Just hum.
I can't hum. Can't carry a hum in a bucket. But I can carry a tune.
Okay, shh.
Okay. So, if you haven't guessed by now, like I said, we're doing a theme show. And the reason why we're doing a theme show is because we've both been playing the same game on different platforms, as most of you probably are doing right now. And our question from SlimTaurus78 is about Modern Warfare 2.
Modern Warfare 2.
So I have been playing the game on the PS3, while Panda has been playing the game on the Xbox 360.
Yay, yay!
Now, before you guys... I am Oscar Mike. No, but before you guys go, hey, Ninja, why'd you get it on the PS3? Didn't you say most of your buddies are on the Xbox 360 and that's where you do your multiplayer?
Wait, you have friends?
You know what? You can just suck a duck. It's because of some of my friends that you get to do some of the things that you get to do. And you know that's true. So, in the corner. Anyway, before I was really interrupted, which you really shouldn't do because I've been drinking, so it's very hard for me to keep a train of thought. You're going to have to hold this thing together, so you better start paying attention.
Okay.
The reason that I got the game on the PS3 was because of just that. I am not a first-person shooter fan. Okay, we'll start it off that way. And it's mostly because I suck at first-person shooters. Just because I have yet to find a controller, because buttons are mapped everywhere, that is comfortable enough in my hand that I can really concentrate well on the games. Especially because of the surgery that I've had on my wrist, it's really very difficult for me to operate both thumbsticks as far as control of movement, in addition to shoulder buttons as well as D-pad buttons to do things. It's just very, very difficult for me physically. So I'm not a first-person shooter fan. I have nothing against them. Some of my closest friends are FPS fans, and they're really good, and I enjoy watching them. But it's the reason why I got it on the PS3, because I don't have so many friends on the PS3, that I wouldn't be invited to multiplayer and pretty much drag down whatever team I was on.
Oh, you were thinking about other people.
I do that occasionally, yeah. But I was thinking of others, because, you know, my thing is, I know that most people that play these types of games have been playing them for a long time. And so they're going into multiplayer to either get their, to hone their skills, to earn trophies, or to earn gamer score cred, you know, and just pwn. And I'm not a pwner in these types of games. And so I don't want to hold anybody back from being like, well, we want to invite her because she's our friend, but we don't want to invite her because she sucks.
Yeah.
At the game. Nothing for myself, ball. Thank you. So I picked it up on the PS3 for that reason, because I don't have that many friends on PS3. And the ones that I do have are straight playing Uncharted, like mad right now. So it lets me just focus on playing through story mode and getting better, hopefully, at it. So we got a question in from SlimTaurus78 about Modern Warfare. And actually, it's a couple of questions.
Hey, and just Slim!
And a couple of thoughts that he had about the game and wanted to know what we thought. So the first thing that Slim brings up is that he believes that the game is cat lady crazy awesome. Slim, I agree.
Me too.
Because like I said, even though I'm not an FPS fan, I do appreciate a good game when I'm playing one, regardless of what genre it is, and this is definitely a great game. And evidently, a whole lot of people would agree with us, because they broke $310 million in sales opening.
I know, I wrote an article about it.
Yes, I know, I read it. I read your stuff when you put it up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, Slim then moves on, though, to talk about a couple of things that have kind of bothered him, irked him, and wanted to know if we noticed the same things or had any of the same reactions. Starting our first with AI in the game, the artificial intelligence. So Slim says that he notices that it's better and dumber, in that some places the AI is much better than previous games and other FPS titles that he's played before, but also in some areas it seems even dumber. And the example that he brings up is that there are some areas where, you know, you may track into an area and then try to back out, where in most games the enemy wouldn't follow you down, you know, a hallway, around a corner. This AI will, as long as it has you in its quote-unquote sights. The enemies will follow you to attack you and try to take you out, as if, you know, you were fighting an actual person. On the flip side, though, Slim Biggs brings up that it seems like the AI focuses on your character as opposed to the lead character that you may be following in a mission. And so they seem to wait for you to trigger an event before they will act.
Yes, I have noticed this.
Well, I'll be honest with you. That really doesn't surprise me. I mean, the fact of the matter is, in any game that you play, your character is the one that triggers every event that happens. So I wouldn't necessarily say that that's, at least to me, in my opinion, bad or slow or dumb AI. Okay, if you play God of War, there are certain enemies that won't present themselves until you cross a specific place on the map to trigger that event to happen. That doesn't mean necessarily that the gargoyle is a dumb gargoyle. It means you haven't reached the objective to trigger the next event to happen. So I wouldn't necessarily say that the AI is dumb because of that.
Well, see, I have to interject here because, I mean, since you didn't play the first Modern Warfare, mm-hmm. you can't compare the AI from that game to this game, which I'm sure is what Slim is doing in his question. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you play Modern Warfare, the first one, believe it or not, the AI, you know, isn't nearly as dumb, quote-unquote. Though you do notice that, you know, if you don't progress, like, if you don't move forth, like, if you don't hit that invisible line, they will stay, like, your AI on your side will stay in their same place, shooting the same response of the same guy that they shot a minute ago until you hit a checkpoint. But it's weird in this, I shouldn't say it's weird in this game, but a new feature that I've noticed is that instead of them just, you know, dodging bullets magically and, you know, just taking out all these people over and over again, you know, the AI are acting more human and are actually getting hit by bullets and are even dying.
Yeah, I didn't play Modern Warfare 1, and like I said, I'm not a huge FPS fan. So as far as AI, I'm talking about AI in general of games, because I can't really compare it to the first game. But I'm not surprised that you have, you know, non-playable characters that are on your team that are taking shots and can even, you know, die or be man down. I think that it adds a great challenge to the game if you start off, you know, a mission with 8 guys, and because you either can't hold your own or don't know where you're going or what you're doing, wind up, you know, only having the 3 of you, that then makes a mission much more difficult as far as taking out the hordes of enemies that are hitting you. So I think that it's a great mechanic. Now, one of the things that we've got to talk about is the controversy around the game.
Wait, there's still controversy?
Well, you know, there's still some lingering, especially with the stuff that happened down in Texas. So there's still some lingering about the No Russian mission. There's still some lingering about, you know, glorifying war in general, which I don't think that this game does at all. I really don't. So I played the level, because it's one thing to watch the video and say, yeah, I don't have a problem with that. It's another one to actually play the level and then be able to come back and say, yeah, I really don't have a problem with it. So I've played it. I've played it twice. I don't have a problem with it. It didn't bother me. And you can say that I'm a heartless bastard.
No, I wouldn't. Because I had written I think it was actually in the same piece where I, you know, I talked about the internal sale estimates out of Activision over that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had initially written a piece about when I saw the leak on YouTube, how uncomfortable watching it made me feel. And I mean, yes, watching that without knowing the, you know, the premise of the mission did make it seem far more unsettling than actually playing through it. Because I mean, once you know why you're in the terrorist cell and why you're doing this, now that you have a justification, granted, murder is still murder. Yes, you did slaughter innocent
pixels.
Innocent pixels, yes. But at the same time, like I said, now knowing the backstory, you don't feel as bad because you feel you're working towards a common good for pixel unification.
I don't feel bad. I'm playing a video game.
So I mean, from my standpoint on that whole thing, after playing it, it really didn't bother me so much. And not to mention, it's kind of one of those scenes because I know at the beginning of the game they do offer you to skip it. But at the same time, like, I mean, I kind of want to go back and play through it again and play it that way, because what happens in that mission after all that is said and done and all the actions have been done and, you know, you think you're about to move on and things take a completely different turn than what you expect them to, or what you expect them to, actually. I want to know how they were going to plan to wrap that up to keep the story linear, because
the next two missions don't really make sense.
Exactly.
If you don't play that mission, you don't understand why things get blown to all holy hell.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, in the article that I had written, you know, I had suggested playing through it because it does have a pivotal point in the story. And even though the actual story in Modern Warfare 2 is not really long, I mean, if you sat down at noon, you could play the whole story by 6. Like, there isn't that much actual gameplay going on in the story, but the story is still very engaging, and I mean, they do keep you entertained throughout the whole thing. So, if you haven't played this game yet, and you have no idea what we're talking about, then, you know, just brush it off and go play the game and figure it out for yourself. It's really not as bad as people are claiming it, and for those that it triggers a bad event, you don't have to play it. We're not strapping you down to a chair and gluing your hands to controllers and making you play. There's a choice, left or right. You just
I gotta go right.
See, and I went right. Mm-hmm. So if you want to be a pussy and you want to go left and you don't want to play that, well, you don't have to. Infinity Ward was nice enough to give you that option, but don't walk away from the game going, I don't think I like it because I don't understand what happened. Because yeah, you missed a valid focal point to the whole war.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So, that's all I have to say about that.
Yep. So, here we go. Let's get into the meat and bones of this thing. I love this game. I'm absolutely enjoying playing this title.
I'm dating Modern Warfare 2 right now.
Are you guys exclusive?
No, because it's for the PS3 too. Whore.
Okay.
Well, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. No, but I'm very attached to Modern Warfare 2, just like you are.
And I've got to, you know, run through the litany of things. It's stunning. Okay? I don't care which platform you're playing on. It looks gorgeous on either platform. I haven't played any of the other distributions that are hitting the other ones, but as far as the PS3 version and the Xbox 360 version, it looks great. The dialogue, great. The story, actually compelling.
It is, even though it's short. Short stories don't mean that they're lacking substance. That just means they have to make up for it.
It's not even that they've got to make up. Okay, I disagree with you that a short story has to make up for being short. I think that a short story, if it's done well, is as enjoyable an experience as a long story, okay? Can you tell me the last time you completed, and I mean completely completed, a Final Fantasy game?
12.
Okay. And what year was that?
When it came out.
Mm-hmm. Which was like, what, 3 years ago?
I'd say so. Well, there hasn't been a new one out yet.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. In all the games that have happened after that one that you've bought, okay, not that's been sent to you, how many of those have you completed? And I guarantee you on the list, without even knowing your list, the ones that you completed were the ones that took the shorter time to complete. Because you got shit to do. I mean, there are very few gamers, especially the ones that listen to our kind of stuff, that don't have jobs, school, or other things to do. So you don't have 14 hours in a day to devote to completing a game. So being short is a necessity for completing a title. And I think that people will buy into a franchise more if it's a franchise where they feel like they can complete the story and move on. Okay? If you play through the campaign mode of Halo and don't want to get every single object that you can and every single achievement that you can lock out the campaign mode in the same type of time that you can knock out the Modern Warfare campaign.
Okay.
Okay, that the Halo story is not a long story. That doesn't make the gameplay any less enjoyable.
Right.
If you have a strong story, it shouldn't matter how long it takes to complete the game for you to enjoy it or not.
Okay.
I mean, just take a look at it. I'm just saying, you know, take a look at Uncharted. Okay, you can finish that in an afternoon if you don't want to get all the little treasures to buy unlockables.
Yes,
you can knock that out.
But most people, well, I mean, that's what a second playthrough usually is for, is mm-hmm. for getting the scraggly stuff that you didn't get through in your initial play.
Right, but if your initial play takes 80 hours, how...
Lost Odyssey.
Okay, how up are you going to be for a replay through? Honestly.
Not much.
Exactly. So I don't necessarily think that a short game is a bad thing. As long as it's a good short game, okay? If it's full of bullet holes in the story, or the gameplay is off, or the AI is just ridiculously dumb, and it's short, I think that's what makes, you know, the games that we go, dude, what were they thinking? Like, seriously. They released that. Do the developers just not care? Because then you don't buy into it. Okay, God of War is not a long game. I mean, if you don't want to spend the time to beef up your weapons, if you just want to play through it, you can knock that out in underneath an afternoon. And if you're really good, you can knock it out in a couple of hours.
Right.
So, you know, I think that we need to get away from, especially us as reviewers and things like that, we, as a community that takes a look at titles and offers our opinion, and whether it's worth buying or not, I think we really need to get away from the idea that length equals awesome.
Right.
Because epic does not necessarily always equal awesome. Sometimes epic can be fail. And Modern Warfare is totally not that.
No, it's not. I mean, granted, it is the cookie cutter type from Modern Warfare, just with a different storyline, better guns, and some really awesome different sequences. But, I mean, it is essentially the same type of format that we've already seen from its, you know, ancestor.
Well, there are very few franchises, and I can't really think of any off the top of my head, that, you know, monkey with the formula on their sequels. You know, I mean, there's really not all that much different if you look at things like a God of War or a Tomb Raider series. There's really not much different in the mechanics from 1 to 2 to 3 to whatever. It's just a different story, more weapons, okay? And they try to kick it up a notch as far as its, you know, difficulty. So, I don't want to say that Modern Warfare is the be-all, end-all of FPSs. It's good. Okay. But I wouldn't call it the penultimate FPS.
I don't think we've seen the penultimate. But, I mean, this is... I would say that, you know, this is on that list of really good ones that if you don't own, you should.
So why don't you run people down through the story?
Well,
because I know you've played more than I have.
Well, yes. Obviously, it's a sequel from the first one. So, I mean, if you never played the first one, I'll run it down for you really quick.
Break it down for the people, Panda.
So, we've got a country over in the Middle East, and they're kind of angry.
No.
We've got the Americans, and we got the Brits, and they're like, oh, no, you didn't. And they're all like, oh, yes, we did. We're like, oh, no, you didn't, and we're going to stop you. And then you're fighting them. So I actually kind of like the fact that the UK and the US are like, we're going to be friends working for the same cause.
Yay!
Yeah. So, I mean,
the enemy of my enemy is my bestest friend. Total BFFs for life.
So, I mean, you play Soap McTavish, who's a recruit for the SAS, which is the UK. Yes. Soap. What kind of name is Soap?
Soap.
And I mean, you're in this little group, this unit with Captain Price, Gaz, and I'm just going to say some black guy.
Random black dude number A.
I don't remember what his name is. I feel really bad.
But yeah, there's a black character. He's strong. You can't remember his name.
I can't remember his name to save my life.
Yeah.
But regardless, the focal key elements of that game was that, you know, even though the story itself also was not very long, you grew attached to your unit. Especially when you're playing
with awfully attached to my unit.
I'm sure you are. But you play Soap for the most part, but then if you're not playing him, you're playing Paul Jackson, who's part of the U.S. Marines.
Okay.
So, I mean, Infinity Ward has this thing about putting you in different perspectives from different units, so you see a wider scale of what's going on.
So you get more of a 360 look at the story.
Exactly, okay. From different points of view. So, I mean, in that game, you jump between Paul Jackson and Soap. And then after a while, you know, after a really bad event, you no longer play Paul Jackson because he gets nuked and he dies. Which I think is, yes. And I mean, I kind of like the fact that Infinity Ward has this thing about...
Didn't he have a refrigerator to hide in?
No, he did not have a refrigerator to hide in. No, he should have because...
Then he would have been fine.
Would have been fine.
Yep.
Maybe a little cold, but
a little
fine.
Chilly.
But needless to say, Infinity Ward has this tendency of allowing us, you know, letting us realize that, you know, not everyone going off to war comes back.
Right.
So, I mean, that's what the whole death of Paul Jackson was in that game. So, I mean, moving forward to the sequel, you know, I'm sure a lot of the gamer base was like, okay, so who's going to die?
Who dies?
Because somebody's going to die doing something really kick-ass because...
Yep.
Paul Jackson cut a female pilot out of a plane that had gone down and managed to get her back to his plane before the nuke went off. So, I mean, he went down in a blaze of glory. Excuse the pun.
Bon Jovi song. Cue it. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
But as most war stories go, when you finally get to the guy that you think is really the head of it all, he's not the head of it all. And he's like one of the higher-ups, but not the big higher-up. And then you find out who the big higher-up is and you take him out. Yay, you've saved the world, you've defeated the bad guy at the cost of essentially your entire unit, but you dying. So if I'm going to sum up Modern Warfare 1, everybody but Soap dies.
Right.
I spoiled number one.
Let's go ahead and see, let's go for two.
So, in the second game, you're coming back as a totally different recruit. Your name is Roach. I think technically your name is Gary Sanderson, but your nickname is Roach.
My nick is Roach.
And you are working with the Task Force 141, and your captain is Soap McTavish.
So
you finally get to see Soap from a third-person perspective. You were playing him, and now you're seeing you 5 years later with a mohawk.
Mohawk, yeah, Soap's kind of badass.
Yeah, and he's kind of beefy, but not like Gears 2 beefy.
Yeah, he's not like a gear, you know, a coghead gear.
Beef. Yeah, but he's got
some meat on him.
He definitely does. Yeah. You know, so you've got the Task Force 141, and they're the Brits, and then you've got the Rangers, which is over here in America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you play James Ramirez over at the Rangers. And you work under Lieutenant Foley, who is a black guy, who kind of sounds like that angry black guy from, I don't remember what movie he's from now.
Hold on. I'm going to get on the internet because you got to get this voice right because this guy's done a lot of voices and stuff. So go ahead and talk. I'm going to go to the internet.
So we've got the U.S. and the U.K. coming back together for a common cause. And, you know, at the end of Modern Warfare 1, you know, the U.K. and the U.S. are working with the Russians. And at the beginning of Modern Warfare 2, you're getting this giant spiel about, you know, after a while of doing so many things with people, you know, eventually a friend of yours is going to get pissed at everything that you've done. And eventually they're going to turn tail on you, and then you're going to have to go and fight people that you fought alongside with, which tends to be the
Keith David.
Okay.
That's who it is. Okay? And Keith, okay, in a bunch of movies, okay? He was in, what do you call it? He's in Prince in the Fog. he was in Gamer as Agent Keith.
Okay.
He was in Coraline as the voice of the cat.
Really?
Yep. Okay. Was in Saints Row 2. Did Julius Little in that one. Let me see. Big movie. He was the chief of police in the superhero movie, which I watched the other day. It was really kind of bad. It sucked. It was awful. He was in First Sunday as the judge. He was the voice of Captain David Anderson in Mass Effect. I'm trying to find a big movie.
All right. Well, anyway, while she's looking for that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, once again, you've got these two different points of view, and I think they were trying to give you a dual, you know, kinship to your whichever, you know, point of view you were in, so that you weren't favoring Roach over Ramirez.
Right.
But I mean, you still kind of want to lean towards looking forward to playing Roach's missions as opposed to Ramirez, because for the most part, when I was playing Ramirez, all I kept hearing was Foley go, "Ramirez, you need to go take out that right now!" You know, and, like, no one ever talked, you know, like, they were far more regimented, and, you know, we have a goal here, you know, and over there with, you know, Soap and them, they're kind of funny, even though they're taking things out. I mean, like, you definitely feel like they're more of a family, well, not a family unit, but they're more informal.
Okay, so everybody, I'm just going to jump in here because I finally found the reference that everybody will know, at least listening to this podcast. Keith David was the voice of Goliath in the Gargoyles cartoons.
Oh, really?
That's where we know him from.
Oh, my God, yes. Okay, so moving forward in a furious pace. So the Russians are pissed off.
You can't do it at a medium pace?
No. The Russians are kind of mad at us because they had helped us, you know, take out, you know, I can't remember his name from the first game now. But they're kind of mad that, you know, they kind of helped us with that. So, I mean, they're kind of on edge. And all of a sudden, an incident breaks out at an airport, which is the controversial mission that we've talked about way up before the release of the game. And we managed to get an American in to this terrorist cell that slaughters this whole airport. And at the very end of it, because here comes the spoiler, Markov, who's the head of this terrorist cell, is aware that you are an American. And he has this objective that he's going to kill you and make it look like the Americans attacked the Russians. So now the Russians are like, well, we were already kind of pissed at what we had to do with them now. So now we have more reason to retaliate. And the Russians fuck up DC. Like, they fuck it up the ass with a very splintery wooden dildo of
ow,
ass.
Ow, fuck. Ow.
Like, they just fucked the monument.
Ow.
The Washington Monument.
Ow.
Like, they just fucked it.
I don't like that.
They fucked it up.
Please stop.
So, I mean, you, initially in the beginning of the game, you're going after Markov. But later on, as, you know, things unfold, you realize that Markov isn't really who you should be going after. But I'm not going to tell you who you need to be going after because you just need to play this game. And I'm not going to spoil all the really awesome things going on in the game because I have learned my fucking lesson. You people get really mad at me.
No, go ahead. Because I want to know. Please tell me.
Nope.
Please.
Play the game.
No, come on. I might not finish it.
You're going to finish it.
No, I might not.
You're going to dig it. It is action-packed. I mean, yes, some of it's kind of, you know, movie-esque. But, I mean, duh. You know, there are just some things you just can't do. I mean, you can't, I mean, there is a scene later on where you're kind of an astronaut in space, and you see something happen, and then you don't see anything happen. See how I'm not spoiling things?
It's like, there's this thing, but there's this other thing
There's a thing you can see from space that I'm not going to tell you what it is, and it does some really big damage.
Is it a pony?
I'm not going to say what it is.
It's a pony.
It's a giant space pony.
Space pony.
She's
loves you
right.
all.
But regardless, the game is really good. I mean, for what it is. Like, I mean, is it the best, awesomest mega game ever? No. Will we ever see that in our lifetime? Well, I most certainly hope so. But, I mean, this game is still very much, you know, the story is very much fun. But I mean, we all know that people didn't get Modern Warfare 2 for the story. I mean, yes, it's engaging, and yes, they were all planning to play it so that they could know it. But everybody knows that everybody just wanted to get into that multiplayer to rape some face. That's what it is. Multiplayer for raping of the face. However, there is this new co-op spec, I think Spec Ops, mm-hmm. that allows you to do certain things with a friend or by yourself.
Yeah, it's better always with a friend.
And you can get stars that I guess unlock things, maybe.
I don't know.
I have yet to play it. I keep getting invites to it, and I mean, once I'm that kind of purist that wants to play the story first and then go into the side stuff later.
Okay.
Though probably the biggest disappointing thing about the multiplayer coming out of this game is, I mean, we all were looking forward to, oh yeah, we got Xbox Party, so, you know, we can have like 8 friends in a room, we can all just talk while we're playing games. Well, people who were playing Modern Warfare 1, you know, were like, well, I don't want to sit in in-game chat and talk to noobs who aren't, you know, my friends, and God forbid I only have 3 friends, and that means I have 2 people in this group that I don't want here in my business. You know, people who were getting their clans together, sitting in a party, you know, and not participating in the in-game chat, you know, and, you know, everyone was just keeping tabs on everybody, and, I mean, just, once again, rape and face. Well,
aww.
With this, yep. Or punching face.
There you go. Let's go with that.
Punch face or rape and face.
Let's go with punch in the face. Let's stay away from the rape.
See, I have a thing about face violence. But anyway.
No.
They decided to step up and, you know, take a positive step towards not allowing that to happen. So now in multiplayer, you can't be in an Xbox Live party while you're playing multiplayer. You have to use the in-game chat.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, I don't think too many people are that bitchy about it. But at the same time, when you log into your Xbox and, you know, you have 20 people on and they're all playing Modern Warfare. You know, and you can't be in a party, which is kind of lame. Because I kind of liked seeing everybody, like, you know, 5 people in one room, 3 in the... Like, I miss seeing that, but I know why they did that.
It doesn't really bother me.
Well, you don't play multiplayer, so of course it wouldn't bother you.
Doesn't bother me.
Okay, all right. Well, let's put you in a scenario.
I don't typically sit and talk with people in a party that aren't playing the game that I'm playing.
Okay. Will you please walk through the scenario with me?
Okay. Can we tiptoe right. through the tulips together?
Yeah, yes. Okay. We can tiptoe.
Okay.
So, you are a level 12. I think that would make you a
paladin?
No, you're not a paladin.
Oh.
You're a corporal.
Can I have a bag of holding still, though?
No, you cannot have a bag.
That has ammo in it?
No, you cannot have.
For my RPG?
No.
Pretty please?
If you're a fucking paladin, why the hell would you need an RPG?
This is war, man! That's why I need an RPG!
Anyway, right. You're a level 12 corporal.
Okay.
And you've got, you know, because I think the standard for each side is 5 to 5. Mm-hmm. So you're a level 12, and you've got 4 friends who have 10 times prestiged. And you don't know what prestiging is.
No. Nope.
But just so we have a review.
Is Hugh Jackman involved?
No. I wish.
I just thought I'd ask.
In multiplayer, when you rank, you know, you level up.
Mm-hmm.
And the cap is 55. When you hit 55, you get golden guns, which is really kind of nice. Mm-hmm. But then you have the option to prestige and restart over. So it's kind of like, you know, you're still really high up. You're just, your level is low again, and you don't have your gold guns. And the more times you do that, you know, the more awesome you happen to be. But you can only, I think you can only 10 time prestige. So, I mean, so you're a level 12 corporal. You haven't even prestiged once, and you've got four friends who are, like, 9 prestiged over. So then when you go and you're looking for, you know, your enemy, you know, your opposing team, you know, when they pull people for that matchmaking, they will matchmake according to your levels or as close to possible. But because you've got four, you know, 9 prestiged over, the group you're going to get are all going to be
prestiged over.
Yes. So your little 12 guy is fucked.
Right. Now, so you don't play with your friends that are prestiged.
Well, yeah, but you do because they're awesome and you get XP for that.
No, I'm sorry.
Anyway.
I'm not bringing a knife to a gunfight.
Let me finish. Okay. The scenario.
We continue to tiptoe.
you've got these four friends and they're like, "Oh yeah, we're going to play, but you don't want to be in the Xbox. You don't want to be in the party with them." So they're in the Xbox Live party, but you're in live chat. You can't hear them. So they could be saying, "Ninja, ninja, flag right, flank right, flank," and you won't hear it. And then you're sitting there talking,
whoa, time out. So let me get this straight. What you're saying is that if you're going to go into multiplayer,
yeah,
and the multiplayer group has a party.
Yes, an Xbox Live party. Yes.
That if you leave the party.
Yep.
To go to in-game chat.
Yep.
You can't hear them, anybody in the party.
No, you cannot.
Well, that makes sense. Okay, if you're playing a multiplayer game and a party is started, then you need to keep your ass in the party.
Yes, but...
No, but! You need to keep your ass...
Say you only have four friends and you guys all decide that you want to play, and then you get a fifth person who's not in your party...
You need to invite them into the party.
But most people are elitist fucks, and they don't want to do that.
Well, then fuck them for not getting their shit together. See, your argument makes no sense to me, because if you start a multiplayer and everyone says, okay, we're going to communicate over party, then you fucking communicate over party, and anybody that jumps in or out jumps into the party. If you want to play and you want to use in-game chat, then use in-game chat. You can't
You don't have to worry about that, because you can't use Xbox Live Party. You have to use in-game chat now.
Well, that makes sense for any
Explain it to you.
Okay, well, I'm just saying it makes sense. I mean, whenever I play a game...
It was right or wrong, I was just saying that they went and they nipped it in the bud.
Well, I think it's a smart thing to do because it just causes confusion otherwise. Because you're like, then, oh, I'm talking to these three people in party, but then I get to talk to these people in in-game chat. No, you can't talk to
people in in-game chat if
you're in a party. What I'm saying is it would cause confusion if you could do it the other way around. Because then you don't know who the fuck you're listening to. Is this fucker telling me to strafe right because we're in a party together or because he's on my team? I don't know who's talking to me. There's too many voices in my head. It makes sense. Like, I don't like...
Regardless, the elitist fucks who didn't want to talk to people who weren't part of their clans now have to just fucking deal.
Oh, you're talking about clan people.
Well, a lot of clan people tend to do it.
Well, guess what? Guess what I think about clan people being elitist fucks?
They can polish your knob.
Well, not my knob, because I don't have a knob. But, you know, the whole thing about gaming online is about engaging the community. So if you're going to be elitist and just stick to your own little group, then just stick to your own little group and just stick to communicating with your own little group in-game chat. If you want to play amongst the other people, suck it up and deal with the other people. Or just stop playing the game.
Okay.
I mean, to me, that's what it boils down to. If I want to play a game multiplayer online, it's because I want to play with other people, whether those are people that I know directly or new people that I want to meet. Because one of the reasons why I like multiplayer and why I love online play is because I can meet new people from all across the globe that share this same passion. So if you're going to whittle yourself down to only playing with other people that have the same three-letter designation in front of their name as yours... And you're going to bitch and moan about the fact that, oh, well, I can't just ignore everybody else and just talk to my little friends. Well, then you need to create your own little private network on your own little private island and take your own little private buddies to that little island. And leave the rest of us who like to actually enjoy each other's company and game with each other and against each other, enjoy the fucking internet.
Okay.
That's slash. Ooh,
regardless,
end
it
rant.
Was something new to bring up. They went and they nipped it in the bud.
I think it's a great idea.
Okay, then.
I'm all for nipping bullshit in the bud.
Well, then, okay.
So, let's talk about a couple other things.
Awesome.
Because this one's kind of been burning my biscuits.
Well, you should put some Pam on the pan so that...
I thought about putting some Pam in there, but I really wanted to put some canola oil, but I was out.
Okay, so
then
what...
Then buttery and fluffier.
So then what else would you want to discuss, then?
The retail versions of the game.
Okay.
Because this is the one thing that I'm kind of like, really? Really? This is just about getting more money out of bitches. So are you aware of the three retail versions?
Well, there's the version that I got, and then there's a special edition, and then there's a special, special edition.
Right. So there's just the simple game SKU by itself, SKU. Okay, the sale unit. Mm-hmm. Then there's the hardened edition. And the hardened edition comes with the game. It comes with a manual, and they're kind of in this steel bookcase dealy, an art book, and a code that lets you that you can redeem both on the Xbox 360 or on the PS3 to download the original Call of Duty game from the respective online purchase store, so either through Xbox Live Marketplace or the PlayStation Store.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the special edition. The special edition, okay, has all the things that the hardened package has, but also includes a fully functional set of night vision goggles.
Yes.
With the MW2 logo on it, and a bookstand kind of deal modeled after Soap's head.
Soap.
Okay, now, here's the thing that burns up my biscuits, right? Because the game by itself, okay, it's going to run you a few bones, right?
Yes.
Okay, so my whole thing is, and I just want to make sure I get the number right, so I'm going to check it out on the internet here. I'm going to go typey. I type in MO in Google, and it's like Modern Warfare 2. That's how popular it is. It's like crazy. It's crazy. All right, so the Prestige Edition, right? Ridiculous. It's going to set you back like, what, $180?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's about that. Okay. Now, I like this game. And there are a lot of games that I've ponied up some serious money. You know what I'm saying? You know, I've dropped $130 on the DJ Hero. Actually, I dropped $199 because I got the Renegade Edition. And I like the idea, okay, of getting a set of night vision goggles. Because you never know when those shits is going to come in handy. Okay, but the fact that you come out with three editions, all varying from the $80 up to the nearly $200, you know, how much value addedness are we talking about? Because I have nothing wrong with special editions, and I have nothing wrong with multiple special editions, as long as they're truly value added. Okay? So, my question to you and to all of our listeners is, which edition did you buy and why? And was the night vision goggle edition really all that much better than just the regular game? Because I'm all for art books. I love art books. Okay? I always, because I'm a creative person, I enjoy seeing what people's process is and how they design, create characters, landscapes, where they get their inspiration from. I like seeing that process. So for me, when I can buy a game and it comes along with an art book, that's usually a value-added thing for me because of where my interests lie. Mm-hmm. But really, how many of you bought the Prestige Edition and actually use your night vision goggles outside? Because running around your apartment in the dark doesn't count, people. So have you actually used them for night games?
I would use them.
I know you would, but I want to know how many people actually are, because then that would be value added. Okay? Like, having them out on display, you can go to Army Surplus Place and get a pair of night vision goggles for much cheaper than that. And I can get a stencil. I can make a stencil, shit, and put Modern Warfare across the side. So I'm a little perturbed at what special editions are turning into.
Profit.
And don't get me wrong, I'm all for profit, okay? You gotta make your money. You work your developers to the bone, and they're creating some really spectacular visuals. There seems to be much more dedication to story and experience on the user side of things as far as driving the market, and I'm all for that, and I want you to make your money. But if they're selling this Prestige set for, you know, $180, and you know that out of that $80, you know, the game itself is about $60. Okay, so you're talking $120 for an art book, a bookshelf, and the goggles. I'm not seeing the value addedness of the bookshelf and the goggles.
Well, the goggles can be used for late night peeping tomfoolery.
Well, then you're talking about Infinity Ward then, you know, encouraging people to commit, you know, felonies.
Well.
Or is that a misdemeanor? I can't remember.
Is peeping a misdemeanor?
I mean, the
peeping Tom is a misdemeanor, but you would probably be trespassing, which could be a felony.
Right.
Depending on where you're trespassing.
I was on the street. I'm on the street watching your nakedness.
So, I mean, I'm not going to say that they are condoning, but I mean, what else? What else would you be using them for? I mean, I can't see myself waking up at, you know, one
in
the morning.
You got to play soccer at 2 a.m?
Like, well, you know what? I'm sure there are a bunch of kids who went and bought the Prestige. Like, we should do something really cool with these, like play tag at night or, you know.
I want to know what kids have $180 just, you know, in
their pocket. Drug money. I'm
concerned of what special editions are turning into. And this one kind of flagged, or I should say sent up a red flag for me as far as what special editions are turning into. You know, just including a guide with your game doesn't make it a special edition. It just makes it a bundled edition. And, you know, if you're going to make things truly special, then you should make them truly special. And it should be a usable special. You know, for me, the Prestige Edition, if they called it a Collector's Edition, would make more sense to me. Because then I'd be like, oh, that means I'm going to get a stand and something I can show off in my collection.
Right.
Ah, I've got night vision goggles. Like the night vision episode thing that I play through in the game. That's cool. Let me put it on my bookshelf. Like, that makes sense to me. Special editions are moving off into a place where now, you know, throwing in a keychain makes something a special edition. And to me, it doesn't.
Special edition fight? Well, actually, now that I think about that, you'll find that happening in not just the gaming industry, but in the music industry. Because, I mean, I know over at, you know, B3's camp, you know, they had done a review of Rammstein's new CD, and their deluxe edition has 6 different dildos molded after the Rammstein guy's man junk. Talk about a very, very special
edition. Deluxe edition of Rammstein. You know, because that's what I think. When I think of rock, I think, you know what?
Penis.
I would like a molded cast of your penis.
But you could put those 6 dildos on your bookshelf and brag about, you know, those cold winter nights when you've broken up with your boyfriend that you fucked 6 different guys' cocks, because it would be true. And that's German.
I wouldn't necessarily brag about that. First of all, this conversation just don't make no kind of sense. I'm going to leave it alone because, first of all, on cold winter nights, The last thing I'm thinking about is going, you know what would be great?
Some German cock. Now? German penis.
German penis. Where, oh, where could I get that? Oh, hey, look, I've got a shelf of six. This is not a conversation that would happen with myself in my home because it wouldn't happen. You know, I want to make sure that as we grow in the industry, that we use the right names for things, because I think the names and the descriptions of things are so important as to how people who, you know, are not the initiated perceive us. Okay. The majority of the controversy that popped up around this game was because of that No Russian episode leak and what happened down in Texas with that guy opening fire.
Oh,
and
boy.
Killing all those, but that's where it came from. And people immediately wanted to draw a parallel between this violence in a video game and actual violence in reality. And I don't really think that you can do that fairly. And it's because this thing was, you know, labeled as, you know, terrorist cell training mission that a lot of people picked up on that. And so I'm really very, I guess, aware of the names and the descriptions of things, because so many times the uninitiated, you know, people who are not gamers, people who are not familiar with the franchise, Jack Thompson, will just jump in and presume and assume and label things and describe things and associate them with things that really they have no relationship to. You know, it's why I get so angry about everyone where they talk about how, you know, that mission, watching it, you know, watching those people die made them feel. Because in my mind, I keep going, you're not watching people die. You're watching a video game. Those are pixels. There's no human being. There's no soul attached to any of that. Okay? It's just like when you watch a CGI movie. What you're doing is you're watching a CGI game. That's all it is. And if you put too much emphasis on those people, you then start a breeding ground for people to not be able to tell the difference between what is a game, what is a virtual reality, a thing that can be turned off, a thing that has no soul, a thing that has no tactile being other than what's on a disc, to an actual event where human life is lost. And so it's a slippery slope for me. And I really feel like we've got to be very careful of really clearly defining that line. Which is why I wanted to bring it up, because you've got to be really mindful. Everything we're talking about here today is a video game.
Right.
The Russians are not bombing us.
Well, yeah, I know.
Okay. There's no war going on in Northern Virginia.
Because that would really suck for you.
It would totally suck for me, right? We wouldn't be recording this right now. Okay, we're talking about video games. And we're talking about playing through scenarios in video games. Whether those are violent video games, or positive video games, or learning video games. That's all we're talking about here. Video games. That help me blow off steam, relax, and enjoy my real life away from my real life. So that's my little bit on the soapbox, because I got to be a little bit serious today.
Really?
I got to be a little bit serious today, because I think that, you know, games are just going to get more and more realistic from here out. So we've got to really be mindful of how we think and how we talk about these things, okay? The technology is just getting better and better and better. You know, you look at the graphics of this game and compare it to, you know, Duke Nukem, okay? We're just getting more and more lifelike. We're getting more and more realistic. So we've got to be more and more vigilant about separating the virtual reality from the actual reality. Because otherwise we're just in a world of hurt.
I get what you're getting at.
Because we're just going to be in a world of hurt. You know, you've got groups like the ECA and the ESA really kind of trying to lead the forefront of, hey, this is all entertainment stuff. It's digital entertainment. This is what it is. This is what it's not. This is who it's right for. This is not who it's right for. These, and you need to make judgment calls yourself. Okay. To me, it's just like drunk driving. Okay. You get a license. You know that if you drink, you shouldn't drive. You eventually make the choice. And if you make the choice, real people can get hurt. Okay. That's not the same as drinking a bunch of, you know, beers and Grand Theft Auto, and then having Nico jump into a car and drive drunk and try to outrun the police. Okay. One is a reality where people will really get hurt, possibly die. And the other one is a video game where if you just drive your car into the water and swim out a little bit, the police will leave you alone. Okay. There's a scale of reality.
Touché.
So, you know, that's just my thing. I just want to make sure that we're being really careful. Because if we don't, okay, Jack Thompson hasn't gone away. And there are going to be more people that step up in his place to start banning games because they're violent and taking the choice away from you because people assume you can't tell the difference between virtual reality and actual reality. And that scares me. Because then they take the Monty Python away. Monty Python. That's, yeah, every once in a while I get deep.
Well, no, because then on that, in that same area, like with video games, the same thing would have to apply to movies too.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, people go into movies and they get encased in the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and move and feel moved by whatever the, you know.
And I'm not saying that you can't feel moved by a game or by a movie. But, you know, there are those people that are disturbed enough that they can't tell the difference between an actor playing a part and an actor being that person. Okay, look at all right. The celebrities that have stalkers that have to have, you know, serious around-the-clock security and restraining orders because people can't tell. And I mean some people can't tell the difference between a performance on the screen and reality. Okay? You and I watch Mr. and Mr. Smith and realize that there's no way that anybody would survive that amount of explosions. There's no way you could live with a person that long. And not even just kind of sort of suspect that maybe just maybe something up.
Okay. Right.
You and I watch Wanted and go, you can't curve a fucking bullet. Okay.
Yeah.
Because we understand and can identify what is entertainment. Okay. And we can suspend our disbelief and enjoy the entertainment for what it is. And then walk away from it back into reality and pick up right where we left off when we left reality temporarily. There are some people that can't do that. And the entertainment stuff is just going to get more and more convincing. The technology is getting better and better. You know, when I sat and watched Dark Knight, okay, at the point that Harvey Dent became Two-Face, you know, pretty much for the rest of the movie, I had a very difficult time focusing on the movie because I kept wondering how the technology worked to make that happen because
it's CG.
I know it's CG, but my mind's going, okay, so how did they wrap that part of his face to green screen that? Because obviously it's green screen. Are we talking paint? Are we talking cloth?
Yes, you know, it was paint.
Okay, well, see, I didn't watch the DVD extras, but this is where my mind was going. I left the suspension of disbelief and went back to reality to figure out how they did that. There are people that saw that and went, wow, Aaron Eckhart got fucked up. And that's what makes me nervous. Because there are people that will latch onto that and say that those people are the majority when they're the minority. And that's what the perspective or the idea of gamers and our generation will become, that we can't tell the difference between reality and non-reality. So somebody's got to step in and save us from ourselves. I mean, it's already happening. You were talking earlier about, you know, the Left 4 Dead game and how it was getting censored.
Well, it's censored over in Australia.
Right. So why don't you tell people a little bit about that? Because that really made me upset.
So I obviously have friends around the world, and I was talking
Pandas
to one of them.
Pandas is popular, yo.
I was just talking to one of them. He knows who he is, and he listens to the show, so yes, I'm talking about you. And he was telling me, you know, how he was excited about Left 4 Dead 2, but at the same time, he was disappointed because they you know, mod it over there. You know, they censor it over there. And I was like, well, what do you mean? You know, and they have a, you know, an Australian Jack Thompson. I don't remember what he said his last name was, but he thinks that zombies are too violent. So to have the game in the country, they had to go and redo all the zombies in the game and make them look like mannequins instead of zombies. And when you shoot them, they just fall over. There's really no real point of even having Left 4 Dead in Australia. Because, one, zombies aren't alive to be dead in the first place. Zombies don't have heads, last time I checked, so how could they bite you?
Zombies aren't real.
Oh, wow.
Let's start there. How about that? Then let's take it into the, and we're talking about a video game. And then let's cap it off that we're talking about a video game that's rated for people that are 17 or older, assuming that they would know facts 1 and 2 that I just brought up.
Oh.
See where I'm going with this?
Yes.
Okay.
You don't know that zombies aren't real. What if zombies are real?
Zombies aren't real.
Okay.
Vampires don't exist. Neither do werewolves. They're all creatures of fantasy, which is not reality. Because if zombies were real, we would have already been attacked by zombies.
You don't know that.
Yeah, I do. Because if I was undead, I'd be pissed off at the living, and I'd be taking you fucking
you don't have
left and right.
You don't have a functioning brain when you're a zombie. You wouldn't have any thought. You would just be thinking brain.
I'm sorry. Most of the zombie movies and video games that have been coming out lately seem to suggest that there is a hive mind capability.
Yeah, like eat and destroy everything.
Exactly. Eat and destroy everything. The living. Because you don't see zombies eating other zombies.
Well,
you see zombies going after the living. You want to know why? Because they hate on the fucking living. Because they're living. And
they don't have
aren't.
Emotions. They just want to eat what's not... What's not them?
Really? How do you know that? You read a book
fresh,
on zombies?
Fresh,
really?
Yes.
When? What was it called?
The Survival Guide of Zombies.
Yeah, who wrote it?
I don't remember.
Yeah, because you're full of shit.
No, it's an actual legit book. There's an actual survival guide to zombie apocalypse.
And let me guess. Is it in the fiction section?
Why do you have to crush my dreams?
I'm not crushing your dreams. I'm bringing your ass back to reality so you don't set a bad example for the rest of us who can tell the difference. Between reality
I can
and
tell the difference.
Fantasyland.
But it doesn't hurt to be prepared just in case.
For zombies. Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yep.
The undead walk in the earth.
And the end of the world.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yep. So you work on that. Okay. Just don't forget to get a job.
You know, I don't even know why you had to bring that up.
Because here's some harsh reality for you. You need to prepare for the world of the working more than you need to prepare for a zombie attack. Because zombies ain't real. Hate to shit on your parade. But hey, you know what, guys? You chime in. Let us know what you think. Because I'm not saying that you shouldn't know how to kill a zombie just in case it was, like, on the outside chance to happen. What I'm saying is you shouldn't be camping out and going to a preparation camp every weekend preparing for the zombie apocalypse. Because you're going to be really, really, really sad. Because it's not going to happen. You okay there, Pumpkin? You crying in the corner? Do you need a hug?
Nope, I'm fine.
You sure?
Yep.
Because you're awfully quiet.
I know.
Mm-hmm. I pissed her off. I guess we better end this podcast before I say, you know, Tooth Fairy doesn't exist either. So with that, I'm going to have to remind you, hit us up on the website, www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use our short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's E.
ESH.MLBI. The show address will bounce into the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at questions@ESH.MOBI. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we're also a part of the All Games Network.
That's right. You can catch episodes of our podcast airing each week on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com. Our shows air every Wednesday at 5:30 to 6:30 Pacific Time, which is basically 8:30 to 9:30 Eastern Time. So, if you want to, and I recommend it highly, before you tune in to the station to listen to our show, tune in a little bit earlier. So that way, you can listen to some of the really great entertainment that they have over there, like Orange Lounge Radio.
Or Dead Pixel Live.
There's In-Game Chat.
There's Video Game Outsiders.
Fantastic Forums back.
Don't forget Bobby Blackwolf's show and Friday Night Gaming. Not that they're a part of the network.
There's also the Escapist Lounge, which you can listen to over there, which is kind of kick-ass. Chatterbox. Jesus, man. Gametopia.
Us.
I had a beer. It was good. There's a lot of really great entertainment over there. Full of all the gaming stuff, the nerdy stuff, the stuff you enjoy. Because if you like us, trust us, you're going to like them. So make sure that you check them out. And if you do and you bounce into chat, let them know that you heard about it from the Electric Sisterhood. Because we like getting credit.
Yeah.
You should totally give credit where credit is due. And we're due a lot of credit. Like, my credit reading is awesome right now. You should also make sure to check out some of the shows that are affiliated with us, hosted by our very own ESH crew members. You can check out the Boston Bass Brigade, found at bostonbassbrigade.com. Their shows air on Tuesday. They are in iTunes, so you can subscribe there and pick that up. They're not on the Zoom, and it's just because I don't really have time to make the stupid thing for the Zoom. But I might. And if you're not listening to that show, helmed by our very own King Baby Duck, you can check out Geek Aggro, which is hosted by our very own Deuces Wild. We got you covered till the hump day, folks. Then hit All Games. They'll carry you through the weekend. It'll be awesome. And if you want to know about randomness, just chime in. Pick up our feeds on Twitter. I'm at twitter.com/ninjasissa.
And I'm twitter.com/ladyesh.
And if you just want to follow the news from our website, you can check that out at twitter.com/ESH News. All the news you can use from the land of Esh will be found on there. And if we get into doing the giveaway stuff, because I've got a pile of crap that we really should have been giving away all this time, you'll find the information on how to get your hands on that merch there. Okay, that's the spiel. I think we can call this podcast toast.
Yeah, I think so too.
So what are you going to do with your toast?
I am going to take several loaves of bread, and I'm going to teach them on how to prepare for a zombie apocalypse.
Okay.
What are you doing with your toast?
You do that. I'm going to take my toast, and I'm going to teach it how to reload weapons faster than me so it can support me. In my modern warfare missions, because I need support. I need cover fire. I'm way too often just going up and walking up to people and shooting them in the face. And then wondering why I keep dying. Like, oh, I'm supposed to duck and cover and shoot.
Yes,
wanna,
cover.
No,
cover.
I just want to boom in your face and watch you die. Because I'm violent. I'm a ninja. Ninja sister. She's Pandalicious.
Oh.
And we're going to be out.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, guys.